movie?
It's somewhere.
Does that mean it was Harry before you started?
Yes.
Okay, well, hello, everybody. Hi. Hi, you're listening to The Clatch on Voice of Vashon 101.9 in sunny Vashon, Washington. And yay. I am Linda Nygaard, and I'm sitting here in the studio downtown with Susan McCabe.
Hello.
Hello. And Heidi Skrypek.
Hi there.
Hi, Heidi. And we have a special guest in the studio today whose name is Kate O'Kane.
Hello.
Yay. Hello, Kate.
Good to see you.
Yeah. We're, you know, there's just so much to talk about and so many things going on. First, what I wanted to do was introduce you to Kate. We have a lot of things to talk about today. Kate is a friend of mine, a good friend of mine, and she's a fan of radio from way back. And she is an actress. I met Kate in when we both were in Vagina Monologues together.
We were looking inwardly at our vaginas in a large room of people watching us.
I know, my kids came. My sons and my granddaughter came.
They learned a lot, I'm sure.
They learned a lot. I think it was kind of, it was interesting because I did the part about my angry vagina.
Mm-hmm. How's it going? Angry vagina. Is it still angry or has it calmed down a little bit now?
Oh, you know, it doesn't care anymore.
Mm, fair enough.
So...
It's an apathetic vagina.
It's apathetic, no.
Yeah. If it's any consolation, mine was flooded, so I'm not sure that that's much better than angry.
That's true.
Oh, you had the flooded one?
I had the flooded one.
Yeah, she was flooded.
One. Oh, I remember that.
Yeah.
I've cleaned it up since then.
Yeah, so I bet you did. I'm glad you did that. I'm glad you did. And anyway, Kate has recently returned to Vashon. She's a Vashon resident, but she travels a lot. She's gone all the time. Recently, she spent 3 months in her hometown in England, Wigan?
Wigan, Lancashire, yeah.
Wigan, Lancashire. And so she's back. We're going to have some stories to tell about that, of course. And professionally, Kate is a consultant in international development. She works with organizations like the United Nations.
Yeah.
You know, she's hot. She's big stuff.
I'll say.
And she specializes in social impact issues like healthcare and that and food and water and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so the basic stuff we all need to survive, and unfortunately, not everyone gets it that easily. So
that's right.
Trying to make sure that people do get it when they need
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm. I remember when you were doing work in Africa, and was that about water?
So I've done various bits and pieces mm-hmm. around the world. So some mm-hmm. of, you know, Africa was water. Some of it was sanitation. A lot of work on HIV/AIDS as
mm-hmm,
well,
mm-hmm.
And then also women's health, maternal health. So really, you know, whatever the issue is, hopefully trying to find some new ways and some new solutions,
right.
And also trying to work in partnership because these are big issues that you can't have the UN or, you know, the mm-hmm. US or mm-hmm. any country do on their own.
Doing so their own
keeps
thing.
Keeps us busy, yeah.
Right, I bet it does. Well, welcome, Kate.
Thank you, it's good to be
I'm
here.
I'm glad you're here. What else? Let's see. Should we talk about COVID? Let's do our little COVID checkup.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anybody got any notes on COVID or anything new?
You know, I'm reading so many different things about COVID and Omicron and
mm-hmm.
how bad is it? Is it bad? Is it good? Is it waning? Is it building? Is there a Deltacron? No, I don't think there is. And how dangerous is it? And I have to say, I'm confused.
I am too. Yeah. I think we all are now.
I saw that Pfizer has tried to rejig their vaccine to try and get it to be a little more closely aligned with what we might need for Omicron.
Mm.
And then I also saw that, at least in the UK, they're starting to reduce some of the restrictions there because they've gone through the wave a little bit like South Africa did.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're starting to see now that numbers are going down.
Good.
And they certainly, whilst they've had a lot of people ill, a little bit like here, they haven't seen the hospitalizations
right.
or even the deaths.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that's a small mercy, even though more and more people seem to be
I
ill.
I know, but it's still confusing to me because the hospitals are full.
Yeah.
And people are still dying. But...
Well.
Vaccines,
my friends.
Right.
Vaccines and boosters. Yeah.
Yeah. Vaccines
because even boosters. If you're in hospital, you know, we're not seeing the deaths to the same extent.
Correct.
So that's the way it works. It's the way it's worked with disease all the way through. And science works when we let it.
Mm-hmm. It does
I
work
actually
when we
read
let
something,
it.
And I'm not sure I'd want to go by this, but it was a healthcare official who said that if you are vaccinated and boosted, the risk of Omicron being serious is no worse than a cold.
Well, good. Yeah. That's what most people are saying, I think. But I don't know. I'm just being careful.
The issue with this is it's a disease we still don't really know enough mm-hmm. about. And also each individual is impacted so differently.
Well, and now...
An underlying impact, you know,
it
issues
does.
Impact.
Yeah. So. And now they're starting to talk about weaving in the story about how we're just going to learn to live with this virus.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's mm-hmm. happening now, too. Yeah. Is that funny, Heidi?
They're everywhere.
A lot of that.
Yeah.
Well, and then... Okay, I just went to San Diego. Two of my very close friends are not vaccinated.
Oh, my goodness.
Ah,
oh, my goodness.
I was so surprised, and I just, you know, but I'm thinking, I may have just given it to you, and I didn't even know I had it or mm-hmm. near me or something.
Yeah.
It just shocks me.
It does. So, it does me, too.
I don't know. And then another friend in San Diego said, so do you think it came from the lab, or do you think it came from nature? And honestly... I don't know.
Who cares?
I don't. Who
We're
knows?
We're never going to know.
Well,
probably came from everywhere, all mixing together, because that's how virus works.
Yes.
How the world
two
works.
Things that were never supposed to meet mm-hmm. met, and mm-hmm. a virus came out of it. You know. So.
And here we are.
Yeah.
Well, I read an article the other day about Hong Kong, and they are culling more than 2,000 hamsters and banning the import of small animals after a pet shop thing and COVID. And now they're not clear on whether or not the humans are passing it back and forth to the hamsters.
But you know there have been hamster escapes and hamsters trying
yes.
to make sure that... People trying to make sure the hamsters have a chance for escape and,
right.
and getting out because, you know...
Yeah.
Hamster lives matter too.
There's a whole hamster society. There's a hamster rescue society.
Yeah.
Free the hamsters. That's
but
alarming.
I thought that was alarming. And I wish they wouldn't have to euthanize those.
Well, when I was
guys.
In the UK the first week I was there, this lovely chap came up to me, stood very close to me in a shop
mm-hmm.
and was a little bit too close, you know, with social distancing. And I turned around to him very politely, as mm-hmm. I am British, and said, would you mind just possibly standing back? And he turned over to me and just went, don't you know, COVID's over. And
oh,
so so that was my rude awakening into COVID in the UK.
Mm.
So anyway, here we are 5 months later and it's not over.
Mm-hmm.
So he was
yeah,
wrong.
But I want to finish that story.
Oh, no, I mean...
About what you said to him.
Well, I said to him, well, actually, I'm from America and I don't know that I don't have it, so you might want to stand back. which actually didn't seem to impact him very much.
Because it's over.
Yeah, it's over.
It's over.
It's over. He was what we would call in the north of England a lout.
Uh-huh. So, I love that word.
Yeah. But it was just one of those moments where, you know, sort of like trying to understand.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in the UK, we have the same vaccine deniers uh-huh. and people who don't want to wear masks. And,
right.
And also just people are tired and bored of it,
you know,
and just are ready for it to be over, like we all are. But.
Sure.
Did you hear Bill Maher the other night screaming about he's not going to wear a mask anymore? Yeah, I'm really disappointed in him, but he's been doing it for a while.
I've been disappointed in him for a while.
For a long time. And every time I watch him, I think, why am I watching him?
Yeah, I do too. It's like ego out of control.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Completely.
Yes.
Completely. And then, you know, Van Morrison and Eric Clapton are both anti-vaxxers.
And Robert De Niro as well.
Robert De Niro too?
I did not know.
Oh, I'm appalled.
The world coming
with
to
RFK on vaccine
really?
Skepticism. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I'm going to have to read about that.
Yeah, I'm going to look that up. Kate, you told me a story about Wales and Scotland and license plates.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, I think for me, and I hadn't realized quite how severe the lockdowns had been in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew my parents couldn't really go out and they couldn't mix with friends and,
mm-hmm.
you know, in their own homes, but also in their gardens as well. I mean, I think we were very lucky here. You know, you could have people and sit together outside at least, but they really couldn't have anybody. And Wales essentially cut off itself from the rest of the UK. So there were roadblocks on the main roads into Wales so that people couldn't come in. And in the UK, a little bit similar to here, but our car registration plates are very clearly aligned with where your car was bought and where you live. And so as you were traveling around, if you went beyond the sort of 20-mile jurisdiction of what was your area, the police could stop you and fine you and also, you know, put you in jail if you were doing it on a number of different occasions.
Mm-hmm.
So that was why a couple of people like Dominic Cummings, who was working for Boris Johnson, got into a lot of trouble because they were just driving straight away. But yeah, it was pretty severe lockdowns in a way that I don't think we had that issue in this country.
Yeah.
We kind of carried on with our little pods and had a certain element of freedom.
I don't remember any states actually
no
closing their borders to anyone else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Although it would be harder. I don't know.
The countries did. Canada did.
But yeah. I was thinking more about the United States. Mm-hmm. I think of Wales as part of the United Kingdom.
It is, but it has its own jurisdictions. It has its own, it has its own language, but it also has its own parliament. And so they do have the Welsh Assembly that could make those decisions in the same way the Scots could as well.
So they are different.
Obviously for Ireland, it was a bit different. There was a sea in the way.
Yeah.
But yeah, they weren't happy with what was going on in London. And so they told them, no, we're stopping. Ah. And they actually did it again just before Christmas as well. There was another bit of a lockdown then, but then they reopened, I think, for Christmas to make sure people could spend it together.
Mm-hmm. So. Christmas in Wales.
Oh. Yeah.
Sounds awesome.
That's an awesome book. What's the mask situation like over there?
Pretty similar to here, really. I mean, you know, you're still wearing it to go into the big supermarkets. Not so much in restaurants. And certainly, you know, I mean, my family, we were wearing it whenever we went into somewhere. And as I said, I think they're about to stop the restrictions at the moment, and they're going to come back on that. When we first arrived, there weren't as many people wearing them, but that was pre-Omicron. So, you know, I think a lot changed again when that happened. And then vaccinations, I think it's almost 3/4 of the country is now fully vaccinated. I think the last I looked, it was 73-74%.
Better than here.
So, and boosted as well. And that's thanks to the NHS.
Here, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so, but I'm not clear on, I'm thinking 60%.
Yeah, we're about 62 here in this country.
Mm. Yeah, and that was not long ago. That was just the first two doses, not the booster included. So I don't know what that number is with the booster.
Yeah, I don't either. Interesting. It's just, I'm really curious about what's going on in the rest of the world, really, with COVID. You know, we hear it on the news and we read it in the paper, but I don't know what's really going on. We need first
the UK
person.
The UK is also different from the rest of Europe. I mean, France closed all of its borders. So quite a few friends were disappointed they weren't going skiing. That was the least of their problems if they had gone. And then also, I think the Netherlands closed to everybody. But, you know, Spain and Italy seem to be doing better. And then obviously Beijing has just said no general public are going to the Olympics. So
I know. I'm looking forward to. I'm not an Olympics fan really, but I love the ice skating.
I do too.
I love the ice skating. So that'll be fun to watch. I'm glad I don't have to go. Okay. Anything else on COVID?
I'm just curious. Did you ever ice skate?
Yes.
I don't know how to.
You're Southern California girl.
Yeah. We ice skated all winter long. We had a little pond, a dam, about half a mile walk from my house when I was raised. And we just walked there all the time. Your skates over your shoulder and mufflers on and all that. And it was really cold, but we skated and skated and skated all winter long.
In Illinois, where I lived, we had, outside Chicago, we had a little river that was called Salt Creek. Mm-hmm. And we would skate on that literally for miles.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Oh, fun.
Loved it.
I did too. I loved it. I wouldn't try it today.
Love to get Fisher Pond sorted one Christmas.
Oh, yes.
I remember that.
I've never been here while this happened. So.
I managed to pull it off one year, and it is really cool.
It's really something.
Really fun, yeah.
That's like my romantic dream, skating on a pond like that. So basically, Linda's childhood, essentially.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll tell you more stuff later. There was one time we were skating. It was just my girlfriend and I. You know, that's just what we did. It was Saturday afternoon. We went skating. It was cold, but it was near spring. And it was a comedy routine because she was very graceful. She could skate and jump and do everything, turn and figure eights and beautiful things she could do and backwards. And I just kind of plugged along and I'm just kind of a skater, you know, not terribly athletic. Well, I was in the middle of the pond and she was already out because we decided to go. And she was already at the edge of the pond taking her skates off when all of a sudden the ice cracked. And you can hear this giant sound of this. The ice used to, on the pond was thick enough so you could drive on it.
Wow.
So when it cracks, it's a big boom. Yeah. And I was in the middle of the pond. And when I say pond, it's a little lake, really, what it was. And I was in the middle of it, and it's deep. And I just panicked. Oh, my God, I panicked. And it was totally a cartoon because it was like, you know how in the cartoons when the cat or the dog has to run really fast, but they run in place. They run in place for about half an hour, and then finally they take off. Well, that's what I did, only it was up and down, and I was screaming. Verna was over on the other edge laughing hysterically, and I said, I'm going to drown. It went bonk. It went bonk. And I ended up crawling. I was scared. Whoa. I was just scared, you know, and it didn't crack anymore, and nothing bad happened, but oh my Lord.
Was it near you, the crack?
Yeah, it was right there.
Oh, that would be terrifying.
Did you get back on the ice though again afterwards? A few days when the next year?
Okay. The next year, sure.
Yeah, good.
Not that horse. Yeah. Not that spring. No.
Exactly.
We have just a whole lot of. We're going to do a really scattered show today.
All right.
Because that's how it is.
That's kind of how conversation goes.
It does go that way, doesn't it?
I would just like the listeners to know that I did actually get cake when I came.
Oh,
yeah. There's been no coffee. But I'm expecting the gossip. So this is feeling very much like a situation to me now that there has been cake.
I did make a little cake to bring in just because Kate was coming, you know, and these English people have to have their something in the afternoon.
Tea.
I was also doing this.
We should have had tea
when I lived in China because my Chinese students couldn't say Kate. So I became Miss Cake.
You're Miss Cake?
Oh,
that's cute.
Yeah.
That's cute.
I feel as though it is important that I always have cake wherever I go.
Good. I'll remember that for the future. So, you know what I want to talk about? Do you guys know anything about pirates? Girl pirates?
No, I know nothing about it.
Well,
until you brought it up.
There's a new book out called Pirate Women. And I started reading a little bit of the excerpts of it. And really, these, you know, we think of pirates as being the swashbuckling men. And if you ever do see women pirates in a movie, they're all dressed up and gusseted and corseted and makeup and all that kind of stuff.
Sexy.
And they're very sexy, yeah. And according to the book, they really weren't that sexy, but were they ever tough? And there's a story of one woman on a pirate ship, a very successful woman pirate, who had a baby on the ship, and she had a sword fight with the baby on her hip.
Oi! Wow.
And this woman who's doing the research, or who wrote the book and did the research, she said it was kind of an accident. She didn't really think, I mean, she had really no interest in pirates, really, but she was talking about pirates, and somebody named a woman pirate, and she said, what? And so she started doing all of the research, and it's just interesting to me that we always think of pirates as men.
Yeah.
Like, you know, so many other things, but there were some really strong women out there. And Kate, you went somewhere with pirate women.
Yeah, I was saying earlier, I went to the Turks and Caicos, and please don't ask me where that is. I just know it's an island in the Caribbean. Because I really wasn't bothered where I was going. I just wanted to go, which is appalling for me as a world traveler to say about communities that I know and love. But I just wanted sunshine. But whilst we were there, it was the first time I was really introduced to female pirates because many of them actually seem to have used it as a base, or I think one of the ones you were talking about, Anne Bonny, actually there's statues of her all over the island.
Do they have Mary Read?
Yeah,
too?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
But the Pirate Cove, which is now known as Parrot Cay, I think, on Turks and Caicos, was originally named after her.
Oh.
So, she, you know, she's famous there. But it was never, I think we've just been sort of manipulated by Pirates of the Caribbean and Peter Pan and
that
kind of stuff.
Yeah. Oh, that's what this author did say. I should say her name instead of this author. I will in a minute. Is that she was always fascinated with Peter Pan. And she, and then, you know, it just sort of evolved. But she said one of the common things believed about Mary Read and Anne Bonny is that they were lesbians. And she said, isn't it funny that people would say these two women had one ship and they
were together.
And so
obviously they must be lesbians then. If there's two women living together and they're wearing,
well, they have to be lesbians.
Absolutely.
They must
just
be
friends. Who enjoyed each
no, it can't company. Be. They can't be just friends. Or you know, cohorts. Or
that would be a history written by a man.
Right.
I would imagine.
Right.
Yes. And, pirates.
Yeah. And that's one of the things that the author did the research on. I'm going to find her name here. Just a minute.
I've got it in front of me. It's Laura Sook Duncombe.
Okay. Thank you.
Pirate women, the princesses, prostitutes, and privateers who ruled the seven seas.
I know.
Great.
Well,
I love that.
I do. I do too. I'm going to see if the library has it. I'm not buying books anymore.
Me neither.
But I would like to see something about it. I think it would be really interesting.
I think we should get a book festival going here on the island and just invite these people up to come and do some talks. I think it'd be really
cool. Ooh, I like that idea.
An island book festival.
Yeah. You know, years ago, there actually was an island literature festival that did bring authors here. And I think for 2 years, it was darn successful.
Yeah. I bet it would be.
But then the organizers kind of drifted off. And
which happens, you know, people get burned out.
It didn't happen again, but...
When I first moved to Shanghai, there was a Shanghai Literary Festival there. It was in this amazing bar called M on the Bund, which is just closing down now, sadly. But she's been doing it for years.
Mm-hmm.
And it was always, every weekend you would go, it was over like 3 or 4 weekends. It was 50 RMB, which was about, $10 at the time. It was a glass of wine and listen. And you had amazing people.
That would be so
Thomas
fun.
Keely, mm-hmm. Really fascinating speakers. So, you know, something like that.
It was similar. It was similar to that. Yeah. It was in the local pubs. Mm-hmm. Of course, it was very pre-COVID.
Well, Susan, remember that they did a open mic night down at the pub quite a while ago, before COVID. And didn't we go and hear some people? Maybe it wasn't you. Have I mistaken you? Did I cheat on you?
It was a hell of a night.
You cheated on me.
Great. Yeah.
Oh, good. Well, anyway, there was an open mic literature night. At the pub, I think it was Chris Basha did it.
Chris Basha, I think, yeah, wasn't it people's short stories?
Yeah.
Things like that?
Yeah.
I think maybe I was your date.
Maybe
night.
You were my date.
Sorry, Susan.
Yeah. It's all right.
Could have been.
I'm glad to know that my memory isn't that bad.
There's that.
There's something left.
Kate, can we talk about driving in the UK?
We can, yeah. I mean, so I think really one of the things that was really cool about being back in the UK, other than seeing my parents, which mm-hmm. is really nice, and friends and family, was I'm married to an American, and I've spent the last 10 years in this country, and so I feel pretty engaged and imbued mm-hmm. in American culture. But this was the first time he'd really spent any time in the UK. Uh-huh. And so firstly, the most important thing I think is, and I am using his words here, even though I might slightly have changed them, that all the things that he thought I used to do because I was weird, he now realizes I do because I'm British. So it's been sort of almost life-changing from a marital point of view. But one of the things we've done a lot of is arguing about his driving.
Mm-hmm.
Because, A, he's my husband, so of course we argue about that. But because in the US, driving's very aggressive. It's very get on the road, especially in California. Sorry.
Oh, it's the worst.
Mm-hmm. It's it's terrifying
it's awful.
To me. People
Rude.
Coming from every direction mm-hmm. and, you know, so many cars on the road and mm-hmm. people wanting to get everywhere. And so for him, driving in the UK, where people were polite and indicating and going at the speed limit most of the time. I mean, there are some, mm-hmm. you know, out there. But it was essentially polite drivers. No, you go first. No, you go first. So pretty much
like the four-way stop in Bastion.
Dream. But with rules. And just that sense that, you know, that was a very British thing. And
mm-hmm.
Seeing that not just in the driving, but in the way that people speak to each other, a very sort of deferential way of speaking, which again, you know, to an American, and he was brought up in Missouri and California,
mm-hmm.
very clear, like, I would like this. I want this. This is what we're doing. And I'm much more... Would it be okay? Shall we do this?
Mm-hmm.
Would you like to do this? And he realized, actually, that's how we Brits are.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of sort of mosey around the subject a little bit until we finally get to mm-hmm. to what it is we're trying to do. But we'll still do it as a question. Would you like to walk down here this way?
It's
rather than
assertions.
Huh. Yeah.
Not okay. Let's go down here.
Yeah.
Or
this is the way we're going. Follow me. It's much more... Would you like to come with me? Let's do this. And I guess it's why we queue as well. You know, we don't want to shove... people out of the way much.
So. I think it's interesting. You know, cultural differences are eternally fascinating to me. And one of the things that I was thinking about with you and Trey going, you know, cultural differences between UK and US, usually, I hope I'm not saying something wrong here, but usually we associate cultural differences with countries unlike ours. And we tend to think the UK... is pretty much like mm-hmm. we are. And they're not.
No.
You know, I mean, cultural differences in South America or Kenya or, you know, someplace like that we can see because there's different color, different skin,
different languages.
Different languages.
Different cosmologies.
All of it. Yeah. And so it's got to be a bit of a surprise for him.
I was expecting culture shock when I lived in China.
I mean, you couldn't
write sure.
you know.
Yeah.
And I was expecting culture shock when I lived in Botswana mm-hmm. as well. You know, mm-hmm. different languages, completely different continent. But culture shock in the US was not expecting, and yet actually has been in some ways probably some of the most intense, because I just wasn't prepared for it.
You yeah. know,
when people tell me they don't understand me,
mm-hmm.
And Jill, my friend on the island, often has to translate for me, even just last week.
Really?
And explain what I'm saying.
Who are these people?
Yeah, really. Just normal people, I tell you. Just
you enunciate.
Normal, same people that you probably all know.
What?
But they're just used to hearing English spoken with an American accent, mm-hmm. and it's hard for them. So
that's interesting.
But in great news, Trey had to be translated by me when we were in the UK. So, you know, it was something like chickens coming
relief.
Home to roost. Like, yes, now he gets it.
Vindication. Yes,
exactly.
I think that's
well. I think some folks that I know recently did some filming in Canada, and they were the only Americans on the set, and they ran into cultural differences in Canada.
In Canada,
not expecting that at all. Anti-American sentiment.
Well,
that
there's that
snuck up on them.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. How is that in England? Do they hate us?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think they're perplexed by the whole Trump thing.
Mm. They were.
Most of us.
They weren't alone.
Then, but, you know, then they have their own mini Trump that, you know, we can talk about at some other stage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Who perplexes me as well. So I don't think so. I think people feel that, you know, normality has been somewhat returned mm-hmm. with the arrival of Joe. And that, you know, we're well away from the Bush era and from the why is America taking us to war era.
Hopefully.
Yeah, well, I was about to say apart from Ukraine.
Russia,
but,
yeah.
So I don't think it's anti-American, and I think Americans should feel very confident going over again.
Oh, good.
You know, I think the years of Trump where you, I mm-hmm. think most Americans, I knew, pretended they were Canadian.
Yes.
And they went to Europe.
Yes.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. That's over.
And don't wear jeans.
I didn't see Trey getting any kind of, you know, antagonism from being
American. Oh, good. Anybody. Did he, is there any sort of stark realization that he had as an American that you can think of? Like, was there a light bulb moment?
Well, other than realizing his wife wasn't really strange and weird, which was a big one for
that's
him.
A blessing, isn't
that
it?
That is a blessing, yeah.
And
just realizing, I think, as well, that I come from a very chatty family and a very sarcastic family.
Mm.
And then realizing that actually a lot of British people are sarcastic and it mm-hmm. is pretty much the national sport.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think it was more just affirming versus big realizations.
Okay. Yeah.
Plus also the fact that we're better drivers. and that we really do believe that the royal family are very important. He spent quite a long time, including on New Year's Eve, talking to my friends, trying to get even one of them to say that they thought the royal family were a waste of money. And I wouldn't say that I'm, you know, I have loads of royalists in my group,
mm.
but everyone was saying, no, actually, you know, we'd rather have them than not have them.
I find that fascinating. What's behind that?
I think there's tradition. There's a sense of pride that we have something.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's an understanding as well that they bring something different to our country that a lot of other countries don't have. And I think it's probably increased in the last few years with the Queen and the death of Prince Philip as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That sense of, you know, wow, she's 90 whatever and she's still going and she's yeah. still doing this. And she's provided a sense of continuity to the country through 3 or 4 different generations.
She
now.
Personally.
She really
yeah.
has.
Yeah. So
she really has.
I think, that kind of British spirit that mm-hmm. people feel pride in.
Mm-hmm.
I think things will change when she passes. I don't know that Charles is going to have quite the same love affair, you know, from the British people.
Right.
But then, you know, he's in his mid-70s as well. So how long he's on the throne before he passes it on to William and Catherine,
yeah.
we don't really know. And I think they have a very different view of what the royal family can do and how they should behave. I mean, they're already making the royal family smaller, and that meant modernizing in terms of who's actually on the family payroll,
mm-hmm.
who's doing stuff.
Oh.
All of that is happening already.
That probably helps.
Mm-hmm.
So, how would you compare that to the American culture of celebrity?
I don't know. I mean, for me, when I look at reality TV and celebrity, I really struggle with it. I find it just has tainted the world in so many ways. But it to me, it's very different. And it's kind of weird because there's a hereditary element to the royal family.
Yes.
And so right. it's not earned in any way. And so if you are a celebrity and you've done it on your own and you've kind of created something for yourself, I think that's amazing. You know, good on you. It's when people, I think, go into the world just to become that.
Yes.
And they right. do things just to become that I really struggle. So, you know, if you're a pop star or you're an actor and you've had a career and you're creating stuff, have at it. I wouldn't say that I see them as royal families. I would see them more as celebrities, and I do think there's a difference. I mean, obviously, the royal family has its own celebrity in it now as well with our friend Meghan. So, yes. you know, and there's right. been so much, you know, said on that. And I think she's perfectly fine. And, you know, I don't have an issue with her and Harry going off and doing whatever they want.
Yeah.
You know, have at it. And, you know, people saying, oh, they want a quiet life. Why are they doing stuff with Netflix? Well, they don't want a quiet life. They just don't right. want to be a part of the royal family.
Right. Yeah. They just, you know. They don't want all the pomp and circumstance
exactly.
anymore.
Exactly.
All those duties.
And I do believe there probably was some racist elements going on in that palace. You know, I don't think
I do
the royal
too.
Family are perfect. And, you know, there are definitely white supremacist old uncles in that palace.
Well, look at that whole, yes. Look at all the in-laws and the old, like from the 30s and 40s.
Oh, totally. Yeah. Totally. And, yeah. you know, we've also got Prince Andrew, who I. Yeah.
Well, he's probably going to go to jail.
Oh, let's hope.
Well, he probably won't go to jail.
Oh, yeah. I'd really be surprised if he went to jail. But
he won't go to jail, but he should. So.
Yeah.
He should be ashamed. Yeah. Listen to
we
me.
Have spoken.
Yes, we have spoken. You know, Heidi has a plan.
I have many plans.
Heidi has many plans. And I wanted.
Travel plan.
Wanted her to share with you. Kate, what it is she's thinking about doing?
I'm heading over to Jersey Ooh. To do a two-way swim. So I'm swimming with a team of three ladies from the UK mm-hmm. and then two other Seattle ladies. We're going from Jersey to Normandy and back.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my Lord.
Brittany.
Swimming.
Swimming.
Yeah,
I'm so
swimmers.
In awe of you. Well, my husband did swim with you once or twice.
Awesome.
And I was always in awe, and I have seen you because I'm friends with Jill as well. And
oh,
I know
good,
she
good, good. Oh, I
heads
love Jill.
Down and yeah. dips in, but I believe you get in and do proper swimming without a wetsuit on as well. And
I know.
I'm just in awe.
Oh,
I mean,
I
did water swimming once in a triathlon and nearly killed myself. I nearly drowned.
You did it?
So but
that
I nearly
was
drowned.
Africa, wasn't
not
it?
Not good.
Was that in Africa?
You
did something
that was
long
in California
walk.
In Morro Bay.
Oh, okay, okay.
That's sharky water, girl. Yeah.
Sharky
but
water.
That's amazing what you're doing. I mean, it's choppy water there as well and cold. So.
It's really cold over at Jersey. And so that training begins pretty soon. But
when is this, Heidi?
July 8 to 12 is the window.
Wow.
So
wow.
it's wherever the conditions are best, the pilot mm-hmm. will tell you. But
I mean, I'd say it might be warmer by then, but it's the English Channel
it's
and British
so
summer.
Cold.
So
right.
it's
right.
like here. It's ridiculous. Yeah. But it's okay. But I learned a few things from my swimming friends over there. We don't have the same lingo. So their mile is a different mile in the water than our mile.
Oh, sure.
Really?
It
miles.
Yeah. It's like 100 more yards
to
make their swimming mile than
they
our
don't
mile.
Call it a kilometer.
There's kilometers, but the
we
mile
have
is
British nautical naval miles.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And the swimming pool, Lido, is the term. We don't use that word here.
What's
so,
the term?
So it's usually an open air swimming pool, and they have them all over London, the Lidos. And it was basically, I mean, I think you guys have that. We had them in Washington,
like
D.C.
Coleman Pool is a Lido.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's open air.
The open
I was calling
pool.
It the Lido.
I would have called it that too, yeah.
You dummy, it's Lido. And then Chuffed.
Chuffed?
Oh yeah, Chuffed.
We don't say that, but it's in the dictionary.
Yeah.
What is
well,
chuffed?
People who hang out with me a lot do say it now.
Happy.
It's like you're very happy, very
excited,
pleased with
happy,
something.
Pleased.
Oh,
I'm really
chuffed,
chuffed about that.
I'm really chuffed to be here today.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah.
I learned that from an Australian years and years and years ago, and he kept talking about how chuffed he was, and I thought, what are you trying to tell me? What? I'm so chuffed.
Are you just happy to see me? And then Kasi. What do you think Kasi means?
Kasi.
Kasi.
I'm gonna give you a new pronunciation.
Give us a
cozy.
Cozy.
With two Z's.
Mm. Cozy.
Lido.
Like a cozy for a teapot?
Close. Not.
Snuggling?
Is it a verb or a noun? Snuggles your body.
Cozy. It's your sweater.
It's your swimming costume. Your cozy.
Boom.
Oh, costume. Because you say costume. Yeah.
Yeah.
put on your swimming costume.
I've made that mistake with many an American friend. Can I borrow your can I borrow a cozy? I don't have a cozy with me, and they've got not a clue what I'm saying.
But as costume, then it applies only to the swimming costume. You wouldn't say I have a Halloween cozy.
Oh, no, yeah, so only to the swimming costume.
It's only swimming.
Yeah. Cozy.
Okay. Swimsuit, yeah.
So flipping it, what's your, when you first got with your husband in America and there were some slang terms, what were your favorites? Or not even slang terms?
I don't even know that there have been that many. I mean, he and I have had a massive argument about macrame and macrame whilst walking down a street in Chapel
And how about aluminium?
Aluminium, oh, yeah, well, he's agreed that we say it properly and that you guys don't. So, yeah, we do have a sort of an agreement that we live in Little Britain and that my pronunciation generally wins.
Okay.
and also that Google Translate and the pronunciation that comes out of Google Translate is basically a marital aid. So that we can agree that, you know, the English pronunciation and the American pronunciation are both equally valid. But we have some absolutely huge rows about whether words exist, because he's a massive lover of words. And then I'll say something and he'll say, that's not a word. And I'll say, yes, it is. And no, it's not. Yes, it is. And then we have to go to Google.
Then you have to look it up.
Yeah, to get clarification.
So. Did you, I just, oh, sorry.
It's called tongue foo.
Yeah.
Tongue foo.
Tongue foo. Oh,
tongue foo. I
love it.
More? God. More?
Nope.
Okay. That was really good. I love that.
Oh, can I give Heidi another word though?
Yes.
For when she's over there.
Yeah.
If you can't be bothered doing something, you need to say, I can't be faffed.
Oh.
Faffed.
F-A-F-F-E-D.
Faffed.
Faffed.
And it's also like when somebody, either to be bothered, but also when someone is just doing stuff that is irritating. So my husband faffs every time we need to leave the house.
Oh.
He just kind of like just messes around.
Okay.
He's faffing.
So he's faffing.
Oh, I've got one like that.
Say that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just so is that, that's in. Kind of like our putzing.
Yeah.
Putzing around.
Oh, well, I don't know that one.
You don't know putz? Okay. P-U-T-Z. You're just putzing around.
Yeah.
Wasting
time. I feel as though putzing is just playing around, whereas faffing is like, got to go to the loo and got to go and do this and all this stuff.
Kind of dragging your feet.
Farting around.
Dragging your feet.
Yeah, I see. Interesting.
In German, putz is like to clean, to mach sauber. You're putzfrau, you're just a housewife that cleans all the time.
Oh, putzfrau. So putzfrau.
Putzfrau. Might have had origins there. I don't know.
I need a putzfrau.
Thank you for that.
Yeah,
so
that's
if you don't
great.
Want to train, you just, I can't be faffed today.
Can't be faffed.
Can't be.
Mm-hmm. That's really.
I can't be faffed.
I just can't.
Can't.
I like
can't
that. Bueno, bueno.
You know, what else were we going to talk about?
But you didn't have a favorite slang word, not one?
I don't know that one. I know any. Maybe I just haven't allowed myself to be sort of contaminated by American slang.
Well, you know,
I stayed as far away as possible.
There's a lot of...
In the UK, they do think I sound American, though, which is terrible.
Oh, they do.
I'm sure, yeah.
But I think
there's a lot of American slang that are basically swear words.
Mm-hmm. Profanity.
Give me some good ones to... Well, not
well,
swear.
Well, we can't say them.
Rad.
Rad.
That's
rad.
California.
Oh, I tell you one word I hate, awesome.
Oh, I am so
Thank
sick
you for
of that
telling
one.
Me that.
Thank you.
It is so Californian as well. But
I use it all the time.
No, I would ask, I'd arrive in the States and I'd say, oh, I'm just going to go and get a sandwich for lunch. And someone
awesome.
I worked with would say, oh,
awesome.
That's so awesome. Like, no, literally, I'm getting in the elevator, going downstairs and getting a sandwich. It's pretty normal. It's not awesome. Or, you know, like, oh, I'm going to go and get on the metro. Oh, awesome. No, literally, I'm going downstairs and
I
getting
am
on the train.
I am so with you on that. The other one that makes me crazy is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Everything is amazing.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
No, it isn't.
Everything is not amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay.
I think it's the American optimism and kind of like desire for everything to be perfect. And I'm British and we're kind of like much grayer and much more kind of like, no, this is a bit shit. Oops, sorry. Mm-hmm. This is a bit rubbish.
And so, that's an English ding, word. Ding, that's ding, a Brit ding. Word.
Yeah. It's isn't it French or German? That's why I'm being European.
Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah, yeah, it was.
So, but yeah, I think it is that sense of like the eternal kind of like blue skies, whereas in the UK we're much more kind of like, it's grey. Let's all just say it's grey.
And I have read British authors who've said the eternal blue sky is basically a form of mental illness. Everything is awesome.
And perfect.
Everything is amazing. Yeah. Everything is wonderful. And I'm so positive.
Yeah. Get away
from
me.
The other great thing that came out as well is that Trey and I used to argue about how much it rained in Seattle and how it was so much rain here and always raining.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to him, it's really not. I think the weather here is really beautiful.
Yes.
And then we went and spent 4 months in England. And now he's like, you're right. It's like it's just much grayer. The north of England is beautiful, beautiful country. Saw so much of it again that I hadn't seen before as well. It's stunning, but it rains a lot.
More than here?
I'd say on par, if not more. Wow. Yeah. So for me, this was just like being at home. It wasn't raining a lot. He was brought up in California, though.
Okay. So that was different. Yeah. Yeah. You know, you guys talking about words reminded me, I discovered a new word today.
Oh.
Wrongous.
Oh, wrongous.
W-R-O-N-G-O-U-S. And it means exactly what you think it means.
Wrong.
Wrong.
It sounds terrible. A little bit Trumpian, though, doesn't it?
It's a word in the dictionary. Wrongous. Yes, it does sound a little like bigly.
Yeah, bigly and wrongous.
I'm really sorry that you said that.
I'm sorry.
I'll never use that word.
No, I'm never going to use
that word. Just delete that part of the show.
Actually, I love that word. Okay. And then somebody else said to me, well, how do you use that as an adverb? Is it wrongously?
Yes. Why not?
Why not? I loved that.
Could you use that word in a sentence?
It's How would kind you of use righteous that and instead wrongous, of using... so it makes perfect sense, right?
Oh,
righteously,
okay.
Wrongously.
I like that.
Oh, it's that just makes not sense. I didn't think of the
righteous
Righteous
and wrongous. That's, yeah. I like that.
Okay. Yeah, righteous and wrongous.
I like it now.
I'm usually wrongous. I know
but
that.
But not about this word. You're righteous about wrongous.
Yeah, I know that about myself. Yeah. I would love to talk a little bit about Boris. Because I can't.
Neither can I.
Wait, before that, did you ever hear Jeff's story, Jeff Hoyt's story?
I was going to bring that up.
You do it.
Oh, okay. About Boris. Oh, yes.
About Boris, yes.
Jeff, oh, yes.
Jeff Hoyt, the voice of the voice of Vashon, used to live in Connecticut. And when he was a teenager in Connecticut, he babysat for Boris Johnson.
He could have saved the world at that age.
Really?
Isn't that something?
It was a heinous accident.
Yes.
Oh, darn. Did I do that?
Yeah. But what does that mean? How was Boris Johnson in America?
He was with his parents.
His father was a diplomat.
Yeah. Was he born here?
Yes, I think he was, actually.
Oh.
So how did he get to be Prime Minister of England?
Oh, we don't have the same.
You don't have to be born.
We're a country of immigrants, and we accept immigrants.
Oh.
So.
Oh, we you accept. Oh, yeah.
There's a big difference.
Yeah, that is a big difference. Right. Yeah, so that's the voice of Vashon connection to Boris Johnson.
I love that.
Do you remember when Jeff went to Ireland? Go to Ireland or Scotland and went to one of Trump's golf courses?
No.
Oh.
You see, Jeff Hoyt could really have just made so many fundamental changes to the history we have today.
He
really
could
have a chat with him and sort this out.
Yes, I wonder if he feels guilty.
He should.
He should, yeah.
He's very wrongous on many of these things.
Oh, Jeff, wait till you get to the 43-minute mark of the show.
I love you, Jeff.
Well, the only story I can tell about that trip that he made was that he went to a Trump golf course. I believe it was Scotland now that I think about it. But he went to the golf course, and, of course, there's a great big sign that says Trump golf course, whatever it is, big thing, and all I saw was a picture with Jeff's back turned to the camera.
Nice.
Righteous. That is the righteous.
That was righteous. That was and righteous. So he took care of that for us.
I will acknowledge I did go to the Trump winery in Virginia.
Yeah.
This was pre-President Trump. And I still felt pretty revolting about going because my love for him was not there already at that stage. The wine was shockingly good.
Virginia wine is delicious.
Oh, Virginia wine is stunning.
It's
really,
so
really good.
Is it? I had no idea.
Oh, yeah. I'm actually going to go down over in May and go for a girls' weekend around the wineries again, around Charlotte's. Oh, no.
I think I used the A word just then, and I apologize deeply, but the wines are quite nice.
Yeah.
Not the asshole word, but. I think I used the zing word. Sorry. They're so good, though.
We'll probably have to edit this out.
I'm sorry. Is that on our list?
Yeah, but you know, I did it last week on something, and I said something really bad.
No, it's
bad.
Not on there.
It's not on the list.
No one told me the list. So
we can't read it to you.
It's just going to be beep, beep.
It's seven words that you shall not say.
They're all the same words that they use in the UK.
They're good ones as well.
They're actually from George Carlin's.
That's not a normal word.
I know.
You've really got to think about number five, I think.
Rooster sucking on a rooster.
Cock-a-doodle-doo.
Coitus with the mother is the other one.
Oh, my God, you guys. Okay, we're having a train
anyways,
wreck
back
here.
To Boris. Talking of
words. Help me.
All right, let's go back to Boris.
Sorry, go
yeah,
Boris.
Yeah, let's go back to Boris.
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 Do you think such that this whole thing about being such a party guy is just the tip of the iceberg of the horrible things that he's done or the stupid things that he's done?
Yes. But I don't think it's an iceberg. I think it's an entire continent of ice that has been there for a very long time and people have just been ignoring it. I think he's a hideous human being. I think he's a pompous little public school boy who doesn't care about anyone else. And my father will be listening to this.
He's a big girl's boss.
Does not agree with any of this, but he knows I do. So, but yeah, I think he's horrible. I saw him years ago and I said I wasn't going to talk about this, but I went to Davos years ago for work and he was in one of the rooms speaking to a lot of people. I think at the time he was still mayor of London. And I will tell you, he can be very funny, like for witty repartee and all the rest of it. He can be hilarious, but he should not be in charge of anything. And as soon as he told his lies about Brexit, and whilst Brexit may have been needed for other reasons and changes in the European Parliament and European community may have been needed, he lied. He absolutely lied about the NHS. And as far as I'm concerned, that takes you out straight away.
But the NHS National
Health.
Yeah. The National Health Service, yeah. He sort of said about all the money that was being sent to Europe for the NHS, put it on the sides of buses. And it was a lie. But it's not just that. It's a little bit like my feelings on our former president. It's the moral code. It's the ethical code. Mm-hmm. It's the fact that I have no doubt that he was having parties and having people over, and it was one rule for Boris and his cronies and one rule for everyone else. All of that being said, I don't know that there's that many other politicians in the UK that weren't doing it, you know. So my only thing would be, how do we, you know, we can absolutely hold him to that standard, but there's probably a few others we need to hold to it as well.
Right. You know, one of the interesting things about all that is the question in my mind that continually comes up, how is it that people like this get into such powerful positions? And I read a most interesting editorial in The Guardian yesterday by a woman whose name I can't remember, and I can't find it again, but she had done some informal surveys with students at the Wharton School, who are from very wealthy families, asking them what they thought the average American earned.
I read this. Shocking.
What they
Shocking.
Say?
What did they say?
A lot. Hundreds of, like, $800,000 or something?
Yeah, the $100,000 to $800,000 a year is what they thought the average American earned. These are the people from which we pluck these leaders who are running our countries.
Yep.
Because they have the money to run the campaigns, and they have the money behind them.
It's the same in the UK. I mean, we don't have the same political system where it's like 18 months of elections, but it's the same. I mean, you look at all the guys, and it is the men who have been prime ministers in the UK recently. Most of them went to Eton. If they didn't go to Eton, they went to another private public school. They all are pals with somebody. Somebody's daddy works in the law firm where they get a job, or they get into the barristers' courts that way, and they just go through. And it just perpetuates and perpetuates. And, you know, it's that thing where, and you know, I come from a privileged background. I went to a very fancy school, and my parents, bless them, I think my dad finished paying for my education when I was in my mid-30s. So I'm very grateful for that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think I've also seen enough of life to realize people do not earn $100,000 a year.
No.
You know, and a lot of people in the UK as well are living on significantly less. What blows my mind is that a lot of people who are earning significantly less still think Boris is amazing. And I think part of it is that he talks a good game and that there hasn't been anything different. Like the Labour Party hasn't given them enough reasons to agree or support. And so Boris went in, very similar to someone in this country, and said, here's who we can blame for why you're not doing well. Here's who we can blame for why you don't have a job. Here's who you can blame, and I will make sure we get rid of all of that and make life better for
you. And then you'll be rich again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, the high streets in England and the way of life in England is not showing that richness. Shops are closing down.
Yeah.
And yes, COVID's had its impact as well, but the high street in Wigan is now just basically vape stores, barber shops, charity shops, a few bakers, because we still have our pies and we're very proud of our pies in Wigan. But, you know, the dynamism of the high street, the big stores that I remember from my childhood, the Debenhams, the WH Smiths, they're all going because there's either people not available to work in them or the marketplace is just not there for them anymore.
It's happening all over, isn't it?
It is happening.
I mean, it's
all
even
over.
Happening on our little island here. I went to the bank today and they closed between 1 and 2 so people could go to lunch because they have no staff to cover.
That's right.
You know, that's.
Yeah. Our ferry system's deteriorating
Don't get me started. Yeah, let's not go there.
Yeah. But, and that's, you know, there's so many factors involved in that.
So many.
But it's the whole idea of people continuing to support the Boris Johnsons and the Donald Trumps of the world, I think, is about poor education and a discouragement of critical thinking. And
I totally agree.
Right.
And you can't have a democracy with that.
You can't.
We had for the first time now, with the taxes coming up, actual taxpayers on Vashon. We've been renters until we bought some land. And so we were looking at the school levy that's coming up.
Yes,
levy or levy? How do you say it here?
Levy.
And, you know, Trey and I were talking about it, and he was like, well, you know, how much more money is it going to offer? And we're both taxpayers, so very happy to pay. And I said, you know, we can't say that we think education is at the heart of, you know, the way in which this world's going to change if we don't actually invest in education or in roads or in any of these things. I think the difference here is that sometimes I get a bit confused because we don't always seem to get the value, because I come from a country where there is a national health service, which comes out of the taxpayers, you know, pockets as well. And so I think if people could see more on that side of things, and yes, I am a big voter for a socialized healthcare.
Yes,
actually show you that taxes are actually going somewhere that you can see and there is a tangible benefit.
That's an actual benefit. Everybody. Yes, yes.
But anyway, we're voting yes.
Speaking of that, healthcare, et cetera. Can we talk a little bit, Kate, about what you're doing with the UN right now?
Yeah, sure. So I've been working with them on a project which is really trying to understand where the next big impact could be made for women and health.
Mm-hmm.
So COVID has really been detrimental for women's health, but also women's rights, women's abilities to move forward. So they've looked at 8 different areas where, and this is specifically the United Nations University, can start to think about where they could invest their time. And it's been fascinating because I thought I knew a lot about women's role in the world and how women access healthcare. But there's some terrifying stuff you find out there. And this, Susan, we were talking about feeling a bit angry with the world just before we came on air. This was what I was doing in November and December when I actually was just horrible to people. And I think it's because, like, the righteous feminist in me was coming out and saying, how is this happening? So things like Ambien and medical research on drugs that are just out there, only really testing it on men, not women. And so basically there's all these drugs out there that are being said they're okay for everyone because men is everyone.
Because men, yeah, man.
And then suddenly they discover because women's bodies are different, because, you know, we have babies and have periods and we're just different.
Mm-hmm.
They realize the drugs impact us differently. And it's only when women crash their cars on the right dosage of Ambien that they realize something is wrong.
Yeah. And what about cervical cancer drugs?
Well, cervical cancer drugs, I mean, all of these drugs are being tested on both men and women.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, trans women should absolutely have access to
absolutely,
this,
yeah.
But there's no reason why non-trans men should be testing cervical cancer drugs. It's because people aren't thinking about the differences, and oftentimes the lens goes directly.
So a body is
men.
A body.
Yeah, exactly.
Is it just men who are designing these studies?
Yeah.
That
as well?
Is part of the issue. Yeah, absolutely part of the issue that we don't have enough female scientists. It's definitely getting better. Men are designing that, but also things like medical appliances and the things that are being used. So even a way in which we might have a mammogram. Has a woman been involved in the actual...
In the structure.
You
in
have
the, in
to think
the, I
from
know.
How as we all you know, sit it here and hold our boobs.
Yeah.
It's like...
Squish
that is not,
your boobs.
Yeah, that has not been designed by a woman who knows how it feels.
No.
The same with apps that are out there as well, right? It's just...
you know, it's everything is through the lens of a man's view on this. And so that's what's been so fascinating about this work, looking at it, you know, healthcare workers, most of them, I think it's around 80% of healthcare workers in the world are women.
Wow.
And in leadership of healthcare, men.
And how does that make sense, really? How does that make sense? It doesn't.
But the problem is, and it goes all the way up to women's leadership, right? Mm-hmm. Unless we have women sitting in parliaments, sitting on committees, it's a voice that's just not heard.
It's not heard.
And, you know, we look at the countries that have done better out of COVID. It's generally ones that had women as a leader. And, I'm not saying men are terrible and men can't do anything, but the whole balance is off still. Mm-hmm. You know, it's 2022. I don't know that it's going to change, certainly in any of our generations. I think it's the next generation down where we're going to see that change, really, in terms of women having that. I mean, it's not even as though we want 50-50 at the moment. It feels as though, you know, even getting to 35 or 40% mm-hmm. would be something. Mm-hmm. But we just aren't seeing it. And until we do, it'll be men designing the research, men designing the appliances, men designing the digital innovations, men designing the structures of how you work. You know, I mean, so much of our way of working is based on working from 9 till 5 mm-hmm. and then going home and the woman has prepared the meal for you. And now women are working 9 to 5 and going
and doing
home
the meal.
And preparing the meal.
Well, that's the other thing too that we talked about earlier is COVID affected women much more in depression and anxiety and that kind of thing much more than men.
And careers.
And careers.
That were lost. Right.
Big time.
Yeah.
Because
so looking after your kids, looking after your elderly parents, mm-hmm. potentially having kids that you thought had already gone, coming back and living with you.
Yeah.
And I will be the one that just said I just did go back and spend time for 4 months living with my parents. So well done them.
Yeah, well done then.
Nobody killed each other.
And I'm sure you were helpful.
It was lovely. It was
I'm sure it was.
But, you know, four grown adults living in a small house is hard.
Ooh, that's tight.
But, yeah. I'm sure.
I'm doing that at my house right now.
We'll go for a drink after this season.
You have 2 boys home right now.
Boys, yeah.
Sons.
6'4" and 6'5", and they're middle age.
Yeah, I know, but, you know, they're your boys.
They're my boys.
There's that. That's awesome.
How my mother thought.
Yeah.
Can't use that word.
Don't use that word.
Adjective.
You can absolutely use it. You're American. You're allowed
to use Californian.
It. Exactly. So you are the
So
the
I guess we have to
can.
Just cut you some slack.
Just a little bit. It's a habit, you know.
So I think about the work that you do. There was a story that was published in yesterday's New York Times, and it was about cash aid to poor mothers improves brain function in babies, study finds.
Yes, I read that too. Yeah, imagine that's true. You know?
There's been a lot of studies with cash like that where if you give it to the women, and it's the same with anything, if you give the women the education. That's mm-hmm. why girls' education mm-hmm. is so important, because if you educate a girl, you're not just educating her, you're educating her family when she grows up and has children mm-hmm. because she will understand the value mm-hmm. of education. So it's absolutely true. And also with cash, what you're doing as well is you're giving responsibility. You're giving the mother the sort of the ability
authority
to believe that
too.
She can, she can make decisions for her child. And most mothers, not every mother, but most mothers will make good decisions because mm-hmm. they're looking at their child and they want the best for them. So there's a lot out there that shows that actually instead of giving money to a government, give money mm-hmm. directly to the people, cash.
Well, you know, that kind of happened through some of the COVID programs.
It did.
Mm-hmm. 1 minute.
And we're grateful for that.
Yeah.
I actually am benefiting from some of it because I qualify for some of the little programs they have. And it's really, it helps.
Good. You know, I think Andrew Yang had the right idea.
Yeah. I do
UBI.
Too. Yeah, I do too.
Something
well,
too
we're
bad.
Just about out of time. I can't believe how fast it went. Kate, thank you so much for coming to see us. It was really fun. We're not finished. Yeah, will you come back?
Yeah, no, this was fun and a really nice reintroduction to my life on the island. Just sort of.
I'm glad you're home.
Chatting with the ladies.
Yes, and that's what we do best.
Yeah. You're listening to KVSH.
It's been awesome.
Yay!
Oh, she said it.
KVSH LP Vashon. This is the Klatch, and thanks for tuning in.
We'll start. Oh, yeah. That was great. Really fun.
Yeah, this is really good.
I'm digging it.
So what'd you put in?
I really like it.